This is Danny and Dusty.
It's not your problem, Doc. You don't have to mix up in this.
That is a hell of a thing for you to say to me.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm your Huckleberry.
The Fan.
Hour number three here on a Thursday afternoon, where you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AMTheFan or Twitch.tv/1080AMTheFan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday.
I have a breaking news. Bill Belichick's girlfriend is squashing the rumors. She has posted a picture of Instagram of her and Bill Belichick.
They're getting married.
Looking lovingly into each other's eyes. She is holding a football with a North Carolina foot on it, and it says, pictured two people who are overly committed to UNC football. He's not going anywhere.
Oh, boy.
He's not going anywhere. How much do you think he's like, why'd you post that?
I'm sure she loves him just for his football.
She wants him there.
We're losing our leverage. Why'd you do that?
Yeah. She has no idea because she's a rookie.
She's like, oh, you're trying to squeeze him for an extra couple million?
Yeah. I was.
Yeah. Just like Dion is at Colorado.
Yeah, pay for your own freaking dinner at, what's the, Olive Garden? Yeah.
What?
Broke college student, Olive Garden. I was trying to think of broke college student, like nice place, Olive Garden.
That is it. That's it right there. I have a feeling
Izzy's pizza.
She probably doesn't go there.
It would be funny if that's like, instead of like taking her to nice restaurants, he like took her to the Olive Garden.
Yeah, it goes to the college dive bars on Saturday nights.
But like, no, you're treating her nice to what she's thinks is nice, as opposed to like what you know is nice.
Have you heard of this place called Hooters?
Great wings.
So if you're listening on 1080 and the Fan, YouTube.com/1080TheFan, we appreciate you. We love you. It is Thursday. It is time for our picks. So even though there's no Thursday night game, we are going to get to our NFL playoff picks. Coming off of last weekend, Dusty, how'd you do?
Bad.
Hmm.
Yeah, I knew it was coming. We had a texture like, I'm fading the picks. I said, probably a good call. After a good regular season, like I was due, a 1-5 last week.
Ooh, that hurts.
Yeah, 1-5. Not good.
Rusty, how'd you come out?
I went 3-3.
Okay. I went 4-2. It has given me given me a chance to catch you by the end of the season.
Well, yeah, we're tied in the wins column.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our split is on the ties.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Oh, so are we tying in the postseason and also into the regular season numbers?
Yeah.
Okay.
The total season.
Okay.
So with that, I guess it's on me this time. It's been a while since I've come out on the top in the weekend. First game, Texans-Chiefs, and it's going to be the biggest bleeping line I've taken all season. Texans on the road plus 8.5.
Yikes. That is a didn't you take an 8.5 point line last week?
Oh, you're right. No, I took Buffalo. The Steelers.
No, Buffalo. You took Buffalo minus 8.5.
Oh, you're right, because we had the big line there. So, yeah, there we go.
Yeah, minus 8.5.
But that is a road dog.
And you did take Pittsburgh
plus 9.5. I thought the game would be ugly enough, but, yeah, it wasn't ugly
Turns out Russell Wilson was uglier.
Yeah, uglier. Jeez. So, there you go. All of my big lines have been in the last 2 weeks, but the Chiefs' offense not been explosive all season.
Yep.
So, I'm gonna go on that one being tighter.
Right around kickoff, the game is anticipated to be 25 degrees with a real feel of 10 degrees. It'll cool down
Evening,
14 degrees with a real feel of 1 degree.
Hey, it's a positive temperature as opposed to last year.
1 degree. I'm going to go, I didn't like the over-under. I did not like the Chiefs minus 8.5, so I'm begrudgingly taking the Texans plus 8.5.
Oof.
I could see, I think it's going to be right around 8 or more. But 8.5, the hook is getting me.
See, so I am on the line of the Kansas City Chiefs are used to playing in some cold weather football. Those Houston Texans are not. They typically play in a climate-controlled stadium. So I'm going to go opposite of both of you guys, and I'm taking Kansas City minus 8.5.
All right.
Ooh, digging on the zag. Game number two, Lions and Commanders. My heart, My heart wants to go with the Commies. I want to pull with them damn Manders. But the Lions aren't just beating teams this year. They are taking a mallet and grinding them into a fine paste. Again, an 8.5-point line. I'm going to do it. Even with the Lions defense banged up because they continue to do the damn thing. Give me the Lions and the 8.5.
Here's the thing about the Lions. They have been banged up on the defense side of the football like no other team.
And yet?
And they lost one of the best pass rushers in the NFL in Aiden Hutchinson. He goes down. But did you know that since week 11, the Lions' pressure rate when using four or fewer is number one in the NFL? When they bring more than four, they are second in the NFL in pressure rate. Their defense is getting better. I'm going to go with the Lions with the win and the cover -8.5.
I like it, like it, like it.
Such a big number.
Well, it's huge.
Sounds like this is another one where I'm going against both of you fellows. And it's nothing about the Lions necessarily, but Jaden Daniels he's continued to prove me wrong basically all season.
The look of destiny.
And 8.5 points kind of seems like She's a nice. Lot. Oh my God.
Okay, that was good.
I talked over it. I missed it. Damn it. Anywho. 8.5 seems like a lot, so I'm. This is another one where I'm going against both of you guys. I'm going to go with the Commies at +8.5, which means that is a road dog.
Oh, God.
Sweet fancy Moses, I still don't know what
that
is.
Oh, that was good. That was pretty good. All right, game number three. This is I'm going with my heart. I'm sure you'll have some AccuTrack weather on this one. But I'm taking the Rams +6 at the Eagles. That is a road dog. I'm taking it. It's going to be a running game, and I think both these teams can run the ball relatively well.
Ball.
The Eagles do it better.
Run the ball.
But I'm gonna channel my inner Lou Holtz and say culture beats talent every time.
Right in the butt.
That's where culture
beats talent.
Yep.
It's right in the butt.
Yep. I got a team coming from Los Angeles. I got by way of Arizona heading out to Philly where it's supposed to be 16 degrees at kickoff. Give me the Eagles to fly, Eagles fly, and the -6. I'm taking the points. They're going to win by more than a touchdown, my friends.
See, I'm right here with Senor Hera. I think some of the...
What in the world is that?
What in the world is this? Last weekend the galvanization of the Los Angeles Rams in terms of the wildfires and such helped them go to Arizona and beat the Vikings, who saw the shadow of Sam Darnold and he went back to what
Sam Darnold.
Yeah. So I am with Dusty here, and I'm going to take the Eagles -6 in some cold weather against a team that does not play in cold weather.
You serious, Clark?
Yeah, I'm serious.
It's going to be a problem.
I couldn't be some more surprised if I woke up with my head stapled to the carpet.
Last pick of the week for us, Bills Ravens.
Oh,
best game of the, hopefully, it's the best potential game on the docket with two Super Bowl potential winners. Heading up to Buffalo to play in the cold, ladies and gentlemen. Somehow, some way, the Bills are home dogs. And I'm going to take it. Bills +1.5 versus the Ravens. Give me Josh Allen to keep it going.
Yeah, I'm going Buffalo as well, +1.5. I think being at home in the elements and having that week off, man, it's valuable. It's needed. I like Buffalo getting points at home.
I'm right there with you guys because we also don't think that when it's this cold, as long as there's not a bunch of wind and precipitation, you might still be able to throw the ball, but that won't help Baltimore much because Zay Flowers is still out, I believe.
Yes, still not practicing.
Yeah, so I am also on the side of those home Bills as the underdogs +1.5.
Bazinga.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Our Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks on the week for the NFL playoff divisional round. Coming up next, speaking of the NFL draft, there has been a pretty noticeable change on who's declaring and who's not. And is this the benefit of NIL? Next on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
There's a nice little note. There's a different note. As the declarations of underclassmen for the NFL draft are out. Now, there is still one subtle change that can come to this group. Players for Ohio State and Notre Dame have until January 26th or 28th, I can't remember, to declare because they have the additional time and preparation and all of the things that go along with that. But at this point in time, the underclassmen that have declared for the NFL draft this year has been nearly cut in half from last year.
I don't think 60 guys are going to be declaring
doubtful
from Notre Dame or Ohio State, because that's the number that they need to get at to get to pre-NIL numbers. Like, we're looking at, it was like 130 underclassmen that were declaring for the draft, and now we're at, what, 70?
Yeah.
70 names are in right now as underclassmen going to the draft. And that is a massive fall off.
And the difference is, look at the names. I'm not going to read them all off, but when you go through the names, Jaden Blue, Will Campbell, Josh Connerly, Trevor Etienne, Quinn Ewers. Yeah, it's guys that you expect to be there. Kenneth Grant and Mason Graham from Michigan. It's not, well, this guy's got talent, but maybe he should go.
I think what we are seeing is that NIL is working for the people that NIL was supposed to work for, which is the players, right?
Yes, 100%.
Getting money for their name, image, and likeness. It was a way to keep them in school where they can still continue to earn money but develop. But, I mean, the question with college sports right now, and this isn't just college football, is that the benefits of the players and what they are getting outweigh the movement and reaction from fans and some coaches around the world of college sports, because they don't like it, because all of a sudden it becomes a bidding war. Very similar to every single one of these coaches who are attractive to other employers, a bidding war happens, and the coaches will leave just as quickly as the players will.
Did you see the rumored price tag for Quinn Ewers to come back?
I saw how much he turned down. It's a lot of money.
$8 million is a lot of money.
Yep.
It is significantly more than he will make in the NFL in his first probably 4 years. I mean, I know you want to get the clock started and
which
all that.
Which means he's probably getting bad advice from somebody.
Yes. Because Texas was going to let it happen. They were going to let him come back.
And if they weren't going to pay him, Alabama or Georgia was going to line up and pay him just as much, if not more.
Are you surprised he's gone? Because I am. $8 million is a lot of money.
No.
And it's not like the quarterback class next year is drastically better.
But this one is really bad. There is the opportunity for guys to grow in next year's class that could pop and surpass him. This is just a really bad quarterback class. And I do agree, though, that he is getting some bad information because I still don't think that he's going to be getting a first-round pick. Like, he doesn't have a first-round grade by people.
I don't think he's a day one or day two guy.
I think he'll be day two because that's your second and third round.
Oh, that's right. I always forget they have two of the games. Yeah, but I mean, for me, he's a third round guy.
In that, well, I mean, if you're looking at where projections for Dylan Gabriel are, Dylan Gabriel is end of day two guy.
Yeah.
So end of third round.
And that's the highest.
I don't think that Quinn Ewers will last that long. He'll be a second round pick by somebody. And it will be either a team that will trade down in the second round and get a little bit better of a value slotting for him, or it'll be a team that needs to accumulate a lot of talent. I mean, I'm basically talking to you right now.
Wow.
But think about it. Would you be upset if the Raiders did this? If they used a first round pick on the best available player,
yes.
In the second round, they're sitting there going, hey, we can get another second. We can get two twos or a two and an additional three.
No.
And we can still get a quarterback and just slide back a little bit. Like, that's a smart thing for a team like the Raiders to do or the Titans to do.
You're 100% right in the sense of if they got, let's say, the first round, let's say it's Mason Graham or a quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what? Getting the best interior defensive lineman, it's like, and he looks like he could be a Brock Bowers-esque guy, like where he's a legitimate all-pro candidate as a rookie.
At six? Like, that's where they're at. They're at six, right?
Six.
You will get the best player in a position group.
Yes.
And, like, that outside of tight end, you should be taking the best position player at any other position group on your roster.
If Tedrell McMillan falls, if Will Johnson, the corner from Michigan, falls. Like,
well, if it's the best edge rusher, you take him and you pair him alongside Max Crosby and you say, all right, we bookended it at least.
Yeah.
And we got young and we got a vet. We're going to be okay.
If you think Will Campbell, the tackle from LSU, is the best tackle in the game, go get him. Like, and then in the second round, you're deciding between, you know, the third or fourth best, you know, total offensive lineman in the draft, or the fourth best wide receiver, or the fourth or third best quarterback. And it's like Jackson Dart. Then you have to kind of weigh the idea of like, do we want, what's the difference between Jackson Dart and Quinn Ewers? I think it's pretty sizable. Like, if you're asking me which one I would rather have.
I don't think it's that big, but personal preference
at
that point.
In the eye of the beholder, right?
Yeah.
Like, is it better for you to get another second round pick or third round pick and take Quinn Ewers, or is it better for you to take Jackson Dart? Like, that's the kind of question I think that the Raiders specifically should be asking themselves. But yes, I think that's where you're at with this stuff. And the idea that these guys are, you know, they've a legitimate, this isn't you're going to get screwed over in college, you're not going to get the bag. No, they are handing out the bag to guys to stay when it's necessary.
Which
is actually, in Texas's case, it's not necessary. They've got Arch sitting there.
Yeah, NIL is working.
Yes.
It is working. Now, for programs that are not Power Four, yeah, you have every gripe in the world to be like, no, it's not working for us very well. But even if you are not a Power Four team, look at Oregon State with Malik Murphy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You went out and you got a quarterback in Malik Murphy.
Got your dude.
Where, yeah, you have your, you were able to go out and get a quarterback because NIL was at 1.5. Wasn't that what the report was out there?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I heard that.
Yeah, no, that doesn't sound right.
But you're able to go and grab that guy for other programs like a Boise State. You're able to continue to fend off a lot of the teams that would go out and try to get your guys out of the portal because, look, you got a rabid fan base that is willing to commit. Like, you can find a way to do it, but your school has got to be committed to the NIL landscape. And for those schools that are committed to it, hell yeah, it's working. And most importantly, this is what we all lose sight of, is that NIL wasn't for your team or your fan base. It was for the players.
Yes.
To finally get the share
what
that they deserve mm-hmm. from a multi-billion dollar entity that is college football, mm-hmm. college basketball. And they're able to now get that money, and it's helping them develop and not go to the NFL too early, where you get weeded out too quickly, or the NBA, where, look, college basketball is getting better. The product is better.
It's a surprise that those products are both getting better.
Because guys are sticking yes. around, and they're actually developing a little more. And Ross Dellinger has an article up at Yahoo Sports right now saying that it's an idea, and they're thinking it through, and it's gaining a lot of traction, which is the 5-for-5, which is now college athletes won't have 4 years to play anymore. You're going to get rid of red shirts. You're probably going to get rid of waivers in many of the scenarios that they're outlining here. But what would happen is you have 5 years to play in college sports. That is coming down the pipeline. It's something that's gaining real traction in the NCAA, and that's going to be even better for the world of college football, because in this world where guys are bouncing around, they're jumping left and right, you can get guys to stick around a little bit longer, because that playing time, you can actually play more than four games your freshman mm-hmm. year, and you're still going to have a developmental year alongside it. Like, there's a lot of schools that were in that. I think a lot of the really good programs, they did a great job of sprinkling in when you play a certain player who you're going to redshirt. Yeah, Dante Moore was a prime example of that. Like, they had to hold on to him. They would have sure as hell loved to have him in a lot of those blowout games, mm-hmm. though, at the end of the year, where they're like, yeah, but we got to kind of save him, because what if something happens to Dylan Gabriel? We've got to hold on to him, and we're going to play Novosad instead. Well, more live snaps would have been better. It would have been way better for Dante Moore and the program. So 5-for-5 is coming down the pipeline, too. It's going to be even better for him.
Well, NIL doesn't just impact the players. It also impacts the coaches. We have a bit of an update on Deion Sanders Cowboys saga. But first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports Center update.
You ever had a Big Kahuna burger?
On today's version of As the Cowboys Turn, James Slater, based obviously in Dallas, covers the NFL and has covered the Cowboys for a long time, but she reported for the NFL Network. Had this about, an hour ago now. One thing to watch following Jerry Jones' initial discussions with Deion Sanders. Two people acknowledge the situation, tell me Sanders approached Colorado AD Rick George Tuesday about additional money for NIL and his staff. He was met with resistance.
Well, this comes on the heels of Colorado's NIL collective shuttered earlier this week. And a lot of people are saying, like, this is what's going to happen. A lot of collectives are going to start folding up shop, because everybody's pushing money towards the universities now, and the $20.5 million are going to be paid out to student-athletes. Well, not every collective is shutting down.
No.
And this may signal something else. And I do believe that Deion is being met with some resistance, because they've ponied up a ton of money mm-hmm. to get this thing off the ground at Colorado. And if you're Colorado and Deion was, oh no, I'm going to be here long after, you know, Shadur and Shiloh and Travis are gone. Are you? Because already you're talking about NFL jobs, and they're not even gone yet. You know, they just got done playing, and they're still not drafted into the NFL, and you're already talking about leaving.
Yeah, Deion Sanders was reached out to and didn't respond when reached multiple times for comment. Ed Werder, also a longtime in Dallas ESPN reporter, he has stated that through the conversations that Deion Sanders is being encouraged by those close to him to pursue the opportunity with the Cowboys. Look, I said this the other day. This is the whole my whole tinfoil hat thing. This is done. This feels like it's done.
The only thing that we don't know, though, is what we talked about yesterday.
Shador.
No.
Oh.
It is Jerry Jones is going rogue, and he's on his own with this.
Oh, yeah.
And so you don't know what is true or not, because it's a one-man operation.
He can flip it on his head if he wants to.
Well, there are no leaks coming out right now, because he's doing this by himself. So there's usually these are leaks from people who are several people have an idea of what's going on, and somebody talks. this is Jerry Jones. And one thing we know about Jerry Jones, he won't leak something. He just comes out and says it himself.
To 20 people with a microphone in front of him.
Yeah. So we don't know who is in and who is out. Right now, all you have is like the thinly veiled. And that's why Dion is a name that is being bandied about so often, is because what do we know about Jerry Jones? He likes splash hires. He'll do it his way.
Mm-hmm.
He will go against the grain and do things for shock value. That all kind of lines up with Dion going there. Dion was a Cowboy. You have several people that say that they need to reevaluate the quarterback position. The one thing that doesn't align here is that Dion isn't going to coach if Shador's not his quarterback, right? Jerry Jones loves Dak Prescott. Gave him a butt ton of money that everybody said, why are you giving him this money?
Mm-hmm. The same thing he did with Ezekiel Elliott.
That would also mean, though, that Jerry Jones would have to admit he was wrong to just this past, September, give Dak Prescott the deal he gave him.
And it took him 2 years to do it with Zeke, right?
Do we think that Jerry's going to do that quickly?
No, but also on the flip side of this, I think this is, to use a euphemism here, Terry's hitting the pipe and going, or Jerry, not Terry, Jerry's hitting the pipe and going, screw it, I'm on my last legs, let's try all the drugs, let's do all the things, and let's just take this thing off the rails and see what happens.
That is just as believable as a rational conversation about mm-hmm. this, and that's why Dion's name is being talked about so much, it is something that the talking heads will want to talk about. And we're sitting there being like, oh, ESPN is talking about it nonstop. It's the same network that is like, should Mike Tomlin be traded?
Yeah. Well, did you see, I want to give a little bit of guff to the four-letter network. They had a talking point around Cavs Thunder last week, where the question was, what would a title to Cleveland without LeBron mean? It was a real thing.
See, here's where it gets kind of spirals out of control is that it's like, well, there's some real traction to it. A lot of people are talking about it. You started the conversation. Yeah.
But I mean, it is wagging the dog for sure.
Because Mike Tomlin even said, he's like, save your time.
Yeah.
Save your breath.
But with Dion and Jerry, like, this does feel like it's something.
Yeah. And it's also like, if it's not Bill Belichick, who's the next biggest name that's out there?
And like
Deion Sanders.
And Mike McCarthy was the let's keep it normal hire. You think Jerry's going to keep it normal now? No.
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 No. Mike McCarthy is a good football coach, but, have you seen the record comparisons with like Mike McCarthy, Mike Tomlin?
Yeah.
And they're like, does he get a bad rap?
Yes.
I think the big difference between him and those other coaches, though, mm-hmm. When his teams lose, you can draw a line to the
head
coach.
You can point at him, yeah.
With Mike Tomlin, it is
usually
that
talent
dude maximized everything, mm-hmm. and they still got there and fell short. I think there's a big difference, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean that Mike McCarthy is a bad head coach.
No.
And that's the thing. Mike McCarthy isn't a bad head coach. He's a perfectly fine head coach, but
better than average.
He is also, a lot of those wins were with Aaron Rodgers, right?
In his prime.
A lot of the wins in Dallas were with a really good offensive line, and you had, like this year, wheels fell off. You mm-hmm. had one receiver, your offensive line, due to attrition, retirement, it's not as strong as it once mm-hmm. was. Your quarterback gets hurt, and boom, you become back to normal again.
It's a tough place to be.
Yeah.
It's almost like, being a great head coach can be tied with having a great quarterback.
Ding, 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 ding,
yeah.
ding,
I'm not sure
ding,
how
ding,
Bill
ding,
Belichick
ding.
Feels about that.
Every head coach is good because their quarterback is good.
I wonder how any NBA coach feels about winning titles with Hall of Famers.
But what? You've also had really good quarterbacks not get to the mountaintop
mm-hmm.
because they didn't have a head to coach.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Yeah. It matters. All right, coming up next, we'll wrap things up with a look at the Portland Trailblazers tonight, taking on the Los Angeles Clippers, some news and notes, and more here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. The Portland Trailblazers taking on the Los Angeles Clippers here in a couple of hours. Some injury news and notes. Donovan Clingan will be out at least a week with a sprained left ankle.
Ruh-roh.
Good news, bad news. Good news is it's only just a mild sprain. It sounds like it'll be one of those things when he's ready to go, he'll return to action pretty quick. I would expect that he would not play on the road trip that's coming up. But when they come back and have the 7-game homestand, that he probably returns then. Robert Williams III has been upgraded to questionable tonight.
Will the Clippers win by 59 in the second of a back-to-back?
No. Kawhi Leonard is not playing for the Clippers tonight because he is not playing on back-to-backs yet, even though he looked good last night. But then again,
I don't think he'll ever play in the second
probably
of a
back-to-back. Probably not. But Robert Williams is upgraded. For those wondering, no, he was not being put in bubble wrap and hidden away. He was sick. He's had the same nasty flu thing that's been going around through the NBA, and it was whooping his butt. He was keeping him away from the team. So
that's no
Denny Avdija, I've been told, is day-to-day.
Okay.
He rolled his ankle right at the end of practice day before yesterday, which is why he didn't play last night, or night before last.
Yikes.
But I was told that wasn't something to worry about. But Denny has now rolled his ankle and had the kind of knee buckle incident, so maybe let him chill for a couple of days. I can just tell you, this time of year, it's not just the Trailblazers. Everybody's just trying to make it to the All-Star break so they can get 2 weeks off. Just everyone's just trying to get, because like, you don't get healthy.
Survival.
You don't get healthy in that time period, but stuff calms down.
Yeah.
Like the nicks and scrapes and dings and swellings and all that kind of stuff, it just, You go somewhere near the equator. You get some heat on it. You get a few daiquiris.
When you just rest.
Yeah, you rest and recharge. Your body just stops getting beat up for a couple of weeks.
Yep.
And like then you play the final, was it 34 or 35 games down the stretch, and you call it good. That's basically where you're at.
Well, that's still a month away.
Where are we at now? Today is the 16th.
It's a month away.
Yeah. It's
always Valentine's weekend, isn't it?
So it's the 12th, so a little bit less. But yeah, you're right there.
That's my kid's birthday. Mm.
They will... they're going to put up a fight tonight, I think.
Against
at home.
Yeah.
Second of a back-to-back. L.A. had to play last night, fly up.
Well, they did get to chill in the entire second half.
Oh, that is true. When you win by 59 points.
So, that's the thing.
These wins are far more important to the Clippers. Gosh, that is one of the sad things, just being like, yeah, wins and losses, they don't matter. But in all
losses
honesty,
matter.
They do. For the Clippers, too. Clippers are the fifth seed in the West right now. Mm-hmm. And one thing we haven't really talked much about is that Russell Westbrook being inserted back into the starting lineup for the Denver Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, they're on a tear right now, and they're only a game and a half back of Memphis for the third seed in the West. Like, mm-hmm. They're sitting in a really good spot right now, with Oklahoma City and Houston just kind of out to an early charge
just
out
running
west.
Away.
They're sitting there. That 3-6 race is going to be tight.
Yeah, because you have teams like the Lakers and Warriors that have just fallen on spikes recently, and the Suns.
And that was something that we all saw coming with Golden State, too.
Yeah, I mean, especially with their
hot start.
12-3 to start.
Yeah.
Like, that lets you know how poor they have been.
They can make a move.
I mean, Steph and Draymond both said publicly last night no, and that it would be irresponsible of the franchise to do it. I think both of them got up there and said that to basically tamp down the pressure on the front office of, like, trying to deliver because...
You should go get that Klay Thompson guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, think about this. If behind the scenes, Steph and Draymond are putting pressure on the organization and it becomes known,
yeah,
well, then other organizations are going to want to extract more. And I think they had them both go, no, 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 we're not in any kind of hurry. When for the past 18 months, all you've heard behind the scenes is that Steph is very much in a hurry and doesn't want to spend the twilight of his career playing meaningless games. So you have him go out there and read off the paper. No, I think it would be financially and a franchise irresponsibility if we did do this.
Steph seems like a guy who's not going to hang on for too long, though.
No.
Like, I wonder how many more years Steph Curry is going to actually even play.
As many as those contract runs out for, because he's getting $60 million a year.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Like, the whole hanging on thing, that's why now. Like, but they're like, oh, we want to win. But it's like, no, 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 no.
He's 36 when he's got three left?
Mm-hmm. At $60 million plus.
So about he'll have 3 years left.
Yeah,
he'll have 3 years left because he's not going to get $60 million again, and he can just bankroll everything that he's been making. He's been making so much money.
Yeah, I mean, he's the face of Under Armour. They gave him $100 million to run the basketball division. So
how's that going?
I mean, playing basketball last night, A lot of Curry's on feet.
Yeah, my kid wears Steph's.
Yeah.
They're cheaper, though.
Mm-hmm.
They're not as expensive as Nike's are.
No, Kobe's are still reigning supreme out there.
Yeah. But
and Sabrina's, so.
We did my kid this last Christmas, she asked for a pair of Jordans. We found her a pair of Jordans.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
Moving up in the world.
The first J's are always nice.
What kind of Jordans did you get her?
I don't know. They were Jordans.
Oh.
They had some black and like some like golden brown on there and some white, and they look good. They look good. Yeah. Right. And they weren't cheap. They were not cheap because they're Jordans.
No, they are Jordans. Yes. And they're really stinking expensive. Yeah.
But they look good.
Real quick on an update, totally unrelated.
Okay.
But, you know, Wu-Tang is for the children.
Oh,
and
it is.
Even more so because there's now a report out.
Cash rolls everything around me.
Well,
cream.
Method Man apparently beat the living crap out of his daughter's ex-boyfriend.
Dude, wait.
He probably had it coming.
I'm going to go ahead and say yes, but how old is Method? He's 53.
53. He 53. Allegedly punched Patrick Sequoia 28 in the face 7 times with a closed fist. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't seen what probably Method Man looks like right now.
Yeah, he looks like HGH.
Yeah. Look, man, let he who has not, all right? Like that.
I've seen him on some like Law & Order SVU like a good decade ago, too.
My man is swole.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, it was at a Crunch Fitness.
You better step lightly when you're dating a Wu-Tang dude's daughter.
It was allegedly involved in assault on a family friend at Crunch Fitness in Staten Island.
Huh. Wait, family friend... or ex, both ex boyfriend.
Yeah, I'm reading two different things here. So boyfriend, ex boyfriend.
Okay.
I'm imagining a situation where somebody may have done something illicit towards his daughter.
Yeah,
it does say ex boyfriend here. So ex-boyfriend.
Again, if you got into something with Method Man, I'm just going to go ahead and guess that you are in the wrong.
Yeah, you crossed his daughter.
I mean, I'm not going to go that far and just assume that he's always in the right, but
I'm telling you, Wu-Tang
I'm
going
to go ahead and say at the Crunch Fitness, he wasn't in the wrong there.
Look, Wu-Tang is for the children, especially these hands.
Yeah, maybe he thought he was at a Planet Fitness and it was Lunk Alarm. Maybe he was just really bothering him.
I hate that stupid thing. It's a real thing.
Well, do you go to a Planet Fitness that has a Lunk Alarm?
Yes.
So if you drop the weights too loudly... Mm-hmm. An actual alarm
There's
goes off.
There's a thing on the wall.
Isn't that counterproductive to the actual
distraction? Yes.
You make a loud noise, so they make a louder noise. Mm-hmm,
pretty much.
Well, it's like when I worked at Old Chicago, and you'd hear somebody like drop a dish in the back of the kitchen, and everybody would just clap their hands. Ah!
I mean, that's fun.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, they're not shaming you over that. That's a rite of passage.
No, they're trying to go down the OPA line.
Yeah. All right. Okay, well, that does it for us today. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's primetime with Isaac and Suk. 4 hour Blazer pregame show, I think, is what Isaac said today.
At least three.
He shook his head yes. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Football Friday. Mm. We get ready for the playoffs and the college football playoff national championship game. Have a great Thursday, everybody. See you Friday from noon to three right here on The Fan.
Bye.
A reminder, fans, about Die Hard Night coming up here at the stadium. Free admission to anyone who was actually alive the last time the Indians won a pennant. Vaughn into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed. Ball four. Ball eight. Low, and Vaughn has walked the bases loaded on 12 straight pitches. Boy, how can these guys lay off pitches that close?
That's all we got. One damn hit.
You can't say damn on the air.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.